September 11th, 2001. Where were you at, Sandy? Sitting on the end of your bed. Finally watched the TV.
So you need to go fill up my car, take all the money out of the account, and that's it.
Well, you remember that real well then. You were
absolutely
broke. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Amen.
How about? I was in my living room making a phone call. I was supposed to, a package was supposed to be delivered. And the guy on the phone told me about it. He said, turn your TV on. I even remember the exact spot I was standing in my living room.
How about you, Connie? Oh, I'm sorry. Cindy.
I know they look
Charlie. No, no, I know. I just.
I was in the shower.
In a shower? Where were you at? Do you remember?
Yes, I was making breakfast.
You were making breakfast. There you go. Yeah. Sherry.
I from Indiana. It was on my 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
I mean, 50th school. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had gotten home the day before and started to work. Well, in fact, I did see you.
How about you, Sherry?
They put down for me, too.
What's that?
They put down for me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cut it down. We couldn't get in or out. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I remember that quite well.
Yeah.
You guys remember where you were?
Yeah, I just got to work.
Turned
the TV on
at work.
Yeah.
Where were you at?
I
was at work. Oh, yeah? Wow. How about you there, Kevin? Remember where you were? Huh? Where were we at? Wow.
I was ready to go.
Yeah. Where were you? Oh, were you born yet?
Yeah, I was a little baby. I was
a bassinet?
Huh? No.
It was in the bank.
Yeah. How are you, William?
You know, yes, the bed, watching the news, getting ready to work. And I saw the first plane up.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Miss Holcomb, where were you at?
I honestly don't remember.
You don't?
I never watched
it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. How about you, Cynthia? Huh?
No idea.
No idea. Mm-hmm. How are you, Cynthia? You're at work watching it? You know, all of us, I think, can remember where we were. I'll tell you where I was. I was on the phone, believe it or not, talking to a friend of mine in Michigan who was at the reserve base fueling jets. And he says, I have to go. I got two jets coming in for fuel. I said, okay. He said, I'll call you back. And so while he was fueling these jets, he called me back. All of a sudden, there was a siren went off. He says, I got to go. We got a scramble. And I went and I thought, what's going on? So I flipped on the TV and then I saw it. And I thought, uh-oh, this is not good. But he had two F-16s that flew in, and he fueled them up, and I don't think even got them completely fueled, and they got scrambled, and they were gone. And he had no idea where they went or anything else, but they came back about an hour and a half or 2 hours later, and then he refueled them again. But so I remember that quite well. And but I think all of us can remember a little bit, you know, where we were on 9/11. But you know, years and years ago, when someone mentioned 9/11, you thought of an emergency number to dial, right? Well, I can remember a story that was told me about a woman whose husband had died of a heart attack. And they went and they said to her, they said, well, why didn't you take and, you know, dial 911? She goes, well, she's, I couldn't find the 11 on the telephone. That was a joke. Anyway, but you know, for many years, 911 meant emergency. And now, when someone speaks of 9/11, we remember the horrific pictures that streaked across our television sets night and day, of the Twin Towers being destroyed, and how the dust and debris came up and filled the streets of New York. Well, this morning I want to look at some very important things which have happened in recent history to show what we as one nation under God need to have, or need to do, I should say, to have God watch over us as a nation. You know, 9/11 was a man-made disaster. You know, 9/11 was not a God-made disaster, it was a man-made disaster, and there's over 3,000 people who died when the terrorists flew the two jets into the World Trade Centers. You know, it was a devastating blow on the United States. It was the first time in a long history where war was waged on our own soil. You know, I remember the Sunday following the 9/11 attack, this church building was full. There was very few places that you could even sit. In fact, we had to put chairs up in here because of the number of people that came to church that Sunday. And I remember that for the next two or three Sundays, it was the same way. But it seemed like after about a month, all of a sudden, people started to not come to church anymore. You know, many turned to God for their strength in that time of need, but it was not long after that the church buildings were no longer full because people became comfortable with their lifestyle and the way they were living. You know, within a year after the bombing that took place there, or the terrorist attack, none of the churches were full anymore. In fact, many of them, there was less people in them than what there was before the terrorist attack. Here we saw how man could have control of a situation and cause a nation to come to its knees and worship God. In Psalms 118:6 it says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me." You know, when God is on our side, we shouldn't fear what man can do to us. We shouldn't fear what man can do to us. You know, man is able to take our houses, he's able to take our cars, our money, our jobs, our family, all of our worldly possession, but man cannot take our salvation. You know, I was talking to a guy here not too awful long ago, and he said, I can lose everything, can't I? I said, yeah, you can. Except. He goes, what do you mean, except? I said, well, you know, I said, one thing that I cannot lose is my salvation. I cannot lose what God has promised that I can have. You know, once a person's saved, you have something that no one can take away from you. Neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from the love of God. You know, when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you have the Lord in your heart, forever and ever. You know, nothing can take it away from you. In John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, it says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29 says, My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now just think about that for a minute. The minute we get saved, we are not only in the Lord Jesus Christ's hand, but we're also in God the Father's hand, and I don't think anything can get us out of there. Amen? I mean, isn't that assurance to know for sure that you are securely held by an almighty God? You know, man may feel that he is all powerful and cause us to do things which we do not want to do, but man cannot take that which is God has given us away. And that's our salvation. You know, man's devastation should have been a wake-up call for all people upon this earth, not only in the United States, but upon this earth. You know, even though it was a man-made devastation, over 3,000 people lost their lives that day, it was man-made. But you know, God's devastation is much worse. In the past year, since 9/11, we've seen the hand of God and the power of God. We have seen just in the past few weeks two major hurricanes hit our coast. And the third one is still coming up behind, of which could be almost as bad as the one that's hitting Florida as we speak. Mexico just had a devastating 8.2 earthquake, and they're still trying to dig through the rubble, and the death toll keeps going up higher and higher and higher. They figure there's as many as 150,000 people who are homeless down there right now because of the devastation that happened down in Mexico. You know, Mexico has a hurricane heading its way across the coast right now that's going to be hitting sometime the first part of this week. You know, if you're taking to think of these here events, they're not man-made. These are God-made. And they're a greater threat or a greater devastation than what man could ever do. The tsunami that hit India a few years back took over 300,000 lives in the blink of an eye. I remember that very well as I was watching the newscasts and things of that. Can you imagine a 60-foot wave traveling at 200 miles an hour heading for coastline? What's going to stop it? Absolutely nothing. You can put up as big a fan as you want, and it ain't going to help a bit. You know, how many of you saw the news footage and stuff of the Bahamas where the ocean left? They after Hurricane Irma left, they showed a picture of a pier, and this pier is about 10 foot high down to where the water should have been. And there was no water. There was no water. The ocean should have been there, and there was no ocean. They took a four-wheeler and took off out across to see if they could find the water. They went 2.5 miles into the ocean on this four-wheeler before they could find any water. And no one can understand why this phenomena happens. And right now, they said that Key West, Florida, they're at low tide, but all of the water from Key West is gone, where the ocean is, and into the Gulf. The water's gone. There's no water there. It's dry land. And no one can understand why this phenomena happened where the ocean just disappears. They have no idea where it goes. They have no idea what happens or anything else. But I was watching this on on the internet, and when they found the water was starting to come back to this pier again. They took off, they went back. It took almost 12 hours for the water to come back, but it was not as deep as it had been, you know, before. And they have no idea why. Well, you know what? I don't know about you, but I serve a mighty God who can do almost anything. I mean, can you imagine the trillions of gallons of water that just disappear? You know, who has control of that? Man has no control over it, but God does. You know, I was looking at that and I'm thinking, you know, why is it man cannot understand that God is in control? You know, why is it man says, well, you know, this phenomenon is caused by... No, it isn't. It's caused by God. You know, I look at that hurricane and I can see God's finger going... You know what I mean? You know, his finger gets tired and he slows down a little bit. And then he starts speeding up again. You know, as he gets stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, I talked to my daughter today and they live in Atlanta, Georgia. And they've been watching this very closely because of the path it's going to take. And it, the path it looks now is that it's going to come right up through Atlanta and then go up to that country western town. Nashville, Tennessee. And Henderson, Tennessee. And that's where ACE's home headquarters is. But Denise told me this morning, she said, we're not worried about the rain, because they were supposed to have between 4 and 6 inches of rain. She said, we're not worried about the rain. What we're worried about is the tornadoes. They said we could have as many as 90 tornadoes that would take and crop up as it comes through. 90 tornadoes! I mean, that's unbelievable. That's what's happening right now down in Florida. They're getting slammed with tornadoes, one right after another. And who causes that? God. That isn't a man-made phenomena. There's not one thing man can do about it. It's all by God's hand. You know, God had taken his hand in a tsunami, and that tsunami that hit India a few years ago. A 60-foot wall of water doesn't just happen. Somehow it has to get started. And I can see how this 60-foot wall of water would get started. God would take and reach down with his hand, just like a little kid is in a swimming pool, you know, and splashes water. I can see God just go, and all of a sudden here goes this water across the ocean, 200 miles an hour, with a wall of water 60 foot high. Yeah, and you know, you take and you think about it, these storm surges are going to be coming into Florida. They're talking anywhere from 12 to 20 foot storm surge. Now, a storm surge is a wave that just continues to come and come and come and come and come. A tsunami is one big wave. And these storm surges can last up to 24 hours. Wow. Just think of the amount of water that comes on shore. That's what happened in Houston. Houston had all the rain, but they had these huge storm surges that came in also. And that's how they were flooded out so bad. But you know, we have seen nation rise against nation. We've seen national disasters happen. We saw again the mighty hand of God as New Orleans got hit a few years ago, and the death toll reached over 10,000. You know, the National Guardsmen who had been in New Orleans, many of them said that they had been over in Iraq, and they said, you know what, there was nothing that compared, nothing, to the disaster that was in New Orleans. I was listening to some of the news accounts over in Houston. And they said that the water damage and things over in Houston is unsurmisable. In fact, there's still interstates over in Houston that are still covered by feet of water. Not inches, but feet of water. But not only that, but we're seeing wildfires all over. We've got wildfires right now in 11 states in the western part of the United States. Now, you take and you look at that and you say, well, yeah, that's just a natural phenomenon. Not this time of the year, it's not. This is the wet time of the year for many states. After all, we're right in the middle of the monsoon, and so should California be. And they're always getting a lot of rain this time of the year. In Washington, Oregon, Montana, it should be getting ready for snow. But yet they've got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres that are burning up. Well, why is it man can't put it out? Because I believe it's the hand of God that's doing it. You know, we've seen oil spills in the Gulf. We've seen so many things that have happened over the last year since 9/11. We've seen nation rise against nation and world powers fall and other governments come up that were worse than what they were. In Isaiah 13:11 it says, "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." People say, but God is a God of love, right? I mean, I hear it all the time. Well, God is a God of love. He doesn't want anybody to be bad, right? I don't know about you, but I serve a God of justice also. I serve a just God, a God who will only take sin for so long, and then his punishment comes. We need to understand this. We need to understand that we do serve a God of love, but he is also a God of justice. You know, God's devastation is so much worse than man is capable of ever doing. Yet man will not turn from his wicked ways and turn to a God for his strength and guidance. In Psalms 33:6 it says this, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." Galatians 1:3 says, "And God said, let there be," or Genesis 1:3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." You know, I don't know about you, but the very voice of God set everything in motion. It was by his all power that this whole world was placed in existence. It was by his knowing that God will also one day destroy everything as we know it today. If you go to the book of Revelation, you'll see that the heavens and earth will flee away. There'll be no place for them. That means the sun, moon, stars, and earth as we know it today are going to be gone. But there's going to be a new heaven, and there's going to be a new earth. And guess what? We're going to be on it. Amen? You know, people say to me, well, you know, the new earth, it won't be big enough to hold all the people. I've heard that. But you know what? Yeah! How much space on the earth does the ocean take up? Huh? 75%. 75% of this world that we know today is covered by water. The new earth won't have it. Do you think there might be enough room on there for everybody? Do you know that there was a study done not too awful long ago, and they said that if everybody in the United States would come into one spot at the same time, everybody, that it would only fill half of the state of Florida. Yeah. They took cubic inches of how much a person was, and they figured out how many people there were in the United States. They took that and they figured out the land mass of Florida, and it'd only fill up half the state of Florida. I mean, that's unbelievable. I think that God has this all pre-planned how we are going to be able to be on the new earth. You know, as I got to thinking about this a little bit, you know, God created everything in 6 days, and it was by an all-merciful God that, believe it or not, we live every day. You know, if God didn't want us to live, all he'd have to do is cut off the oxygen. Amen? We'd be dead. But you know, it's also by an all-merciful God that we have assurance of eternal life if we accept His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God's devastation is so much more severe than what man can do, yet when God causes His mighty hand to be upon us, people do not walk to the church houses anymore. We do not turn to God for our strength and our guidance. We do not look to God for our help. We try to be self-sufficient and do it on our own. You know, have you noticed the news have not had a lot of people on there from Houston that said, you know, I just praise God that I made it through it? The news media doesn't want you to see that. But I was on a Christian station, and they were down there interviewing, and there was person after person after person after person after person. I just praise God that we made it through it. I just praise God we have our lives. I just praise God that, yeah, I've still got my house here. It needs some repair, but we'll get through it. I just praise God that not more people were killed. And just over and over and over. People praising God because of it. But yeah, you don't see it in the news media. Why? Because the news media is so biased. You know, it's time, though, that the people wake up and realize that we are now in the end times. Believe it or not, 911 is here and it's real. 9/11 is here and it's real. You know, there's been more earthquakes in the past year that have not been reported. I went onto a website yesterday just to see what it looked like, and they said that there's been more earthquakes around the world in the last year than any other time reported in history. The earthquakes are getting to be more and more and more. The only reason we heard about Mexico was because it was close to us, and believe it or not, there was people that felt it all the way up to Tucson. That earthquake was 600 miles off of shore. That was not right in Mexico. It was 600 miles offshore, and if you look at the devastation there was in Mexico, it's unbelievable. And I say to myself, man, it's unbelievable how God can take and do things like this. You know, there's more wars and conflicts going on around the world than any other time in history. And people say, well, we don't hear anything about that. That's why, because the news media doesn't want you to hear it. If you go into Northern Africa and you go down into the African nation, all the way down, it's war after war. Have anybody remember the name Gaddafi? Anwar Gaddafi? Okay, he's still alive and well, believe it or not. I just thought I'd take and let you know that. In fact, he's in Africa. And his regime that he has down there is going country by country in Africa and trying to slaughter everybody that will not join his regime. And the reason I know this is we had we were supporting some missionaries a few years ago, the Coolies, and they were in Bonifacio, Africa. And he was coming down from the north into their territory, into the area that they were. And they were given 24 hours to get out. They gave him a warning. They said, if you're not out of here, if the Christians are not out of here in 24 hours, you will be killed. They had to fly planes in from another area, load them up and everything they could get in them, and fly them out in 24 hours. They're no longer on the mission field, by the way. But listen, we need to understand there's wars going on that we have no idea. There's people being persecuted. There's people being killed on a daily basis for the cause of Christ that we don't even hear about. Why? Because our news media doesn't want us to get up in arms about it. But you know, it's time that the people wake up and realize that we are right now in the end times. We're right now in the 9-1-1 era. You know, there's countries rising against country, nation against nation. There's more disease than at any other time in history. We've got sexual transmitted diseases at epidemic proportions all over the world. AIDS is growing faster and faster each year, and we don't hear about it because of the homosexual lifestyle. And you don't want to say anything against them. Smallpox, diphtheria, you know, have taken thousands of lives in recent weeks. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9, it says, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places." If ever there was a time to be concerned about the end times, it's right now. If there was ever an emergency time to dial 911, believe me, we're in it right now. You know, it's not long, and we're not going to have time to dial 911 and ask for forgiveness. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he cometh in the clouds, with every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. You know, when a person dials 911, you put the emergency response in motion. You know, when a person has a need for fire, police, or an ambulance, we dial 911. When the World Trade Building was targeted by man, the 911 system was so overwhelmed that it went down. It completely went down because there were so many calls coming into the call center all at one time. When the hurricane hit New Orleans, the 911 system was overloaded to where they couldn't even use it. When the earthquakes hit and the tsunami rolled over the oceans towards the land, the 911 system was put into action, but it was too late, and hundreds of thousands lost their lives, but yet millions were saved. Now is the time, when Harvey headed for the coast of Texas, the 911 system was put in place. You know, I can remember on the television when Harvey was coming, and you do too, the warnings that FEMA was given, the warnings that the president was given, the vice president, get out, get out, get out. Same way with Florida, get out, get out, get out. I mean, the hundreds of thousands of people that fled from Florida, and their lives are going to be spared. Listen, we need to realize that the 911 system is now being activated for us spiritually. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2 it says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." You know, we're living in those days right now. People are going about their everyday hustle and bustle, not giving any thought to the Lord's return. Not one bit. You know, today is the day to call 911 and turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, now is the time to call 911 for your spiritual needs. You know, we need to look inside us and see if there's a spiritual need that we're missing in our lives. Is there something we're missing? Have you been living your life the way that God would have you to live it? When was the last time you did anything for God? When was the last time you gave your time, your talents, your tithes to further the Lord's work here in Florence? Now is the time to do a spiritual inventory. You know, I was watching many newscasts and stuff. They were interviewing people as they were leaving Florida. The one guy said to this lady, he says, "Well, what all are you taking?" She says, "I'm taking everything that's important to me." And he says, "Well, how much are you taking?" She says, "Just the stuff that I can get in my car. Everything that's important to me, I'm taking." How much stuff was important to her? Just what she could get in her car. Well, how much stuff is important to you? What is important in your life? You know, one day, we're going to want to call 911, and believe me, it's going to be too late. We're going to suffer loss because we felt there was no need to prepare for a future eternity. You know, we've been busy preparing for natural disasters. We don't have to prepare for our eternal destination. 1 Corinthians 3:15 says, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire." What do we need to do today? Do we need to call 911 before it's too late? Or do we need to call 911 to change the directions that we're going in? You know, as I was watching people evacuating, all of a sudden there's a big sign on the freeway that says, "Traffic jam ahead. Take exit such and such to avoid it." Listen, maybe you got a traffic jam coming up in your life, and you need to take a different road. We need to take and find a different way to take and get around things that are coming up in our lives. Are you cheating on God and the things that you're doing in your life in hopes that maybe you might catch up with them later? You know, if you've been holding out on God, you need to get to the altar today and call 911 and ask God to forgive you of the things that you've been doing. You know, if you're not 100% sure where you'd spend eternity, you need to take and get that settled today too. Because I'll tell you what, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And as these natural disasters get more and more and more prevalent, things are getting closer and closer and closer. Yesterday I received an email from Mel. We talked about Mel and Great Gap, and it was the first email that they were able to get out off the island they're on. They said that they fared out pretty good, but St. Charles and St. John's did not fare as well. He had showed some pictures. They had got the boat back down to the ocean, and they went out to St. Charles, and they showed St. Charles, and it looks like an atomic bomb had went on that island. There is nothing left. The whole island's leveled. So they went up to St. Charles Island, and it was the same way. Those two islands got hit by the eye of the storm. They said that when it hit St. Charles and St. John Island, the sustained wind speed was 180 miles an hour. Nothing is going to withstand 180 miles an hour. They said that on St. Charles, there was only one person that died. And the reason they died, it was an elderly lady who tried to move a tree by herself. And she had a heart attack and died. Other than that, there was no life spared at all. St. Charles was the same way. You know, but they heeded the warning. They heeded the warning and they found safety. They found a safe haven before that tornado or the hurricane ever hit. But where are you today? Where are you? We need to remember 911. If there's some spiritual need you need in your life today, maybe you want to come to the altar today while I sing this last closing hymn. And I'm going to open the altar up. You need to come to the altar today. The altar's open. Maybe there's some things in your life that you need to get settled. Maybe there's some things that you need to take and talk to God about. In any case, the altar is going to be open. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We know that you'll guide and direct us. Be with us.